Let's continue in prayer. Gracious God, we do thank you for each day that you give us. We praise you. And we don't make each day happen. We don't make this day happen. We don't make our lives happen. You do. Grant us the grace this day to wake up to the reality that you have given us, to the day that you have made, to your presence. Help us this day, Lord God, to respond to the reality of your gracious presence and give you all our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite the children, if they'd like to go over this way with Mrs. Garrett, so that would be great. Or you can stay with your families, but this would be a great time to head over toward Children's Church. And I want to welcome everybody else who is here. It's wonderful to be together. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in wonderful worship. And that one song, it talked about as we turn toward God, as he falls upon us, as we worship him, how everything changes. I just think that's so important in our world where we are trying so hard to make things work. We're trying to tell people what to see, what to do. We're trying to figure that out ourselves, but we're not stopping first to let God change ourselves. Change our eyes, the way we see. I mean, we need to have the seer changed. If we don't change, we'll always see things the way we always see them. And part of what happens when we come to worship is we ask God to change us the way we see what we see, the way we respond to what we see. I remember back when I was canoeing in New Hampshire one time with a group, and we were going through a set of rapids, and one of the canoes got stuck on a rock. It was not going to go anywhere. It was just stuck there. The power of the river was pressing it against this rock, and there was no chance for the people canoeing it, paddling it, to get it off that rock. We got out of our canoes and tried to push against the force of the river, but there was no pushing against the force of the river. The river was just too strong. So we stood and looked at it upstream from it just in case it did start to move and decided, you know, if we could just get this canoe to orient itself slightly into the flow of the river, just a minimal amount, that the river would take care of the rest of it. You know, that if it's fighting against the current, it's not going to work. But if we can just even a millimeter have it move into the flow of the river, the flow of the river, the power of the river will change everything, and that river, that canoe will go shooting down the rapids. When we come to God in worship, we're opening up our lives to allow that kind of power to influence us, to move us. You see, the greatest reality in our world is God. And when we align our lives in worship before God, the power of God's Spirit will move us in ways we have not yet imagined. In fact, like me, trying to move that canoe a little bit, we had to make sure that we were ready, because we knew that as soon as we got it reoriented even just a little bit, it was going to take off. It was going to shoot down the river. So we better not be in the way. We better be ready to go with it. And it's the same way for us in worship. When we truly come together to worship God, to be humble before God, to ask God to reorient our lives according to his will, his ways, his Spirit, his word, we ought to watch out, because we're not in control anymore, which, of course, is the big shift for us. We want to be in control. But when we come to worship God, we say, no, Lord, I want you to be the center of my life. I want my life to be oriented around you rather than the other way around. In fact, there's one man named James Mays. He's a scholar on the Psalms. wrote this line about in the psalm we're about to read, Psalm 103. It talks about those who fear the Lord. No, the Psalms also use terms like the righteous, the faithful, the servants of the Lord. But these terms, all of them in the Psalms, they speak of people who seek to make the Lord the decisive orientation of their lives. I want you to remember that line. The righteous, those who fear the Lord, are those who seek to make the Lord the decisive orientation of their lives. Do you get that? This orientation thing. It's really important. I mean, think about a kite, right? Its orientation to the wind makes all the difference. A sailboat, its orientation to the, for us, our orientation. So I'm going to read Psalm 103 and invite you to listen in to this psalmist's sense of orientation before God. And then we'll just pick out some things that can help us as we worship, as we go through our lives, help us to make sure to work with God's Spirit to seek to make God the decisive orientation in our lives. So listen now to this. Thank you to whoever the child was that put this up here. It's kind of cute, isn't it? It's a little creepy crawler. You want to take that? Thank you. It's alive! Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a beautiful psalm. Do you notice how it started and ended? What did he say? Do you remember? Bless the Lord. I want you to remember that. It wasn't bless the Lord, Jonna, although that's a good thing to. It's bless the Lord, oh my. It starts with me. Our worship of God starts with me. Yeah, not Mark. You know, if it's you, it's you. You get the idea? Each one of us. So often we come to worship and we think, man, I sure hope my spouse gets it this morning. Or my child, or my parent. You know, the pastor's preaching, you say, did you hear that? Be a little careful with that. Make the first priority for you when you come to worship God here on Sunday mornings or in prayer each day of the week. Make sure that the person you're starting with is you. To seek to make the Lord the decisive orientation in your life. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let it start with you. As the psalm goes on, you'll see that it, we pray, will extend to all creation. But for each one of us, whatever else anybody else does, let it begin and end for you with you. So what does the psalmist do next to seek this orientation of his life toward God? What do we do when we come to worship? The next thing that the psalmist does is he takes time to remember, to acknowledge the reality of who God is. That's the second thing that we do when we come to worship. We understand it starts with us, but we come to acknowledge this greatest reality, that the Lord is God. You know, that's that first commandment. The first thing that God says each time he teaches his people is remember that the Lord is your God. There's only one. Acknowledge this reality. My wife, in her counseling practices, she passes on to me because she does a fair amount of counseling with me, talks about radical acceptance. You know, this idea of recognizing like St. Francis' prayer, you know, what you can change and what you can't. So acknowledging this radical acceptance of what reality is. So, you know, let's say you have a birthday or something like that, and you're thinking, man, I'm getting old. And you go, yep, that's true. You're having a birthday and you're getting older. Radical acceptance is, okay, my body doesn't work quite the way it used to, and what do I do with the body that I've got now? How do I make the most of this day, this life? And of all the things we've got to radically accept, and this is, of course, why the gospel is humbling, why the scriptures are humbling, is that we acknowledge, first of all, that God is God, not us. And as we grow up, one of the big things that children have to grow to radical acceptance of, that each one of us has to grow in radical acceptance of, and we've got to keep learning, is that the world does not revolve around you or me. And to acknowledge who it does revolve around. To acknowledge the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. That's the fundamental reality that we've got to come to terms with in our lives. And not just once in that prayer we prayed a long time ago, but each day and each Sunday as we come to worship. We've got so many voices in our lives that are pulling us this way and that, telling us that this is where our hope comes from. This is where our hope comes from. This is the voice we've got to listen to. And each day, each week as we come together for worship, we've got to acknowledge that this is the voice. This is the one around whom we need to have our lives oriented. God alone is the one we worship. And so acknowledging God. And as a part of that, we take time to remember. You know, did you notice in the psalm how he says, and do not forget all his benefits, all his blessings, all the good things that he's done? Take time to remember. Verses 7 and 8, these verses actually are quotes from Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7 there, where the people have built a golden calf and they've come down to worship it. And you might remember, Moses finds them and he's angry. God's angry. There are consequences because they've turned their orientation from God to this golden calf. But then God says these words, The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. That when the people go off into exile, taken off to Babylon, there are consequences for our actions. And yet the steadfast love of the Lord reaches out to us wherever our consequences take us. His love continues to draw us home like that good shepherd who looks for the lost sheep. God's intention is always to draw us back to life in him, to reorient us once again to him as the giver of life, the gracious God. And so we take time to remember as we come to worship. A little bit later in our service, as we remember around the table, you know, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. All through the scriptures, this remembering is a critical part of worship. We'll read, Pastor Jonna and I will read a prayer that was written back in the 3rd century after Jesus. It's called the Hippolytus Prayer because it was found among the papers of this Christian martyr from the 3rd century. Of course, the scholars now debate, well, maybe it was written 100 years before or 100 years after. It just, people have been gathering around this table, remembering the story of God's redemption in Jesus Christ for thousands of years. And as we gather this morning, we'll be joining that cloud of witnesses, praying the very same prayer that they prayed, remembering together the grace of God given to us at this table. As we remember who God is, as we acknowledge that the Lord is our God, it leads us to another point of radical acceptance, and that's acknowledging who we are. That the Bible calls that repenting. Remembering that we aren't God, but even though we've pretended to be, we've tried to be, we've tried to control everything. We thought we could know it all, we could do it all, and we're called again and again back to this place of saying in humble acknowledgement that I'm a human being, a fallen creature, a sinner who falls short of the glory of God. And so as we come to worship God, we take time to repent, to say for even the best that we do, we fall short. To acknowledge this reality that, as the psalmist says here, as for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone. We acknowledge our mortality. We acknowledge our failures. We acknowledge our sin. And we remember again, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Those who seek to make the Lord the decisive orientation of their lives. We can depend on this God. So we repent, we acknowledge our humanity. And then we receive the grace that God offers. This too is a part of worship. To come and receive the grace at the table, the grace that God offers us through his word. The grace, really, that comes to us as we simply acknowledge him. I mean, it's not why we orient our lives to God that way. Our orientation of our lives toward God is just a response to how powerful and wonderful and good God is. But as we do that, we receive blessing upon blessing. As we, like that canoe, just get a little bit into the flow of God's love in our lives and world, we receive a power. Our lives are changed in a way that we couldn't have contemplated. And so we come and we receive. As we do this, it leads us to be renewed. The psalmist talks about in verse 5, who satisfies you with good as long as you live so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I wonder if you've experienced that in worship here or in other places in your prayer time. Certainly I have. Where I've come and acknowledged God, looked to God, repented, received God's Spirit, and found myself being renewed in a way that I couldn't have anticipated. God strengthens me in the midst of the challenges. He lifts me up on wings like eagles to soar forward with courage and strength and hope in the midst of the challenges of our world, of our lives. That as we come to worship God, we are renewed by the power of God. That flow of the river of God's grace, of God's Spirit, enters into our lives and can move us forward with strength into the challenges and the opportunities of the day. And as we do that, what we find is that we are given the privilege of, even though we started and will end with us worshiping God, we are led to this privilege of leading others, encouraging others, saying, come on, join in with this praise. Bless the Lord. Oh, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. You know that our worship of God here and our worship of God each day in our prayer times and our worship of God when we go out into the world seeking to live our lives in a way that is oriented toward God, the prayer is that as we do that, God will use us to lead others to join in this happy chorus of praise to God. Of living in such a way that the glory of God is made known to the world, the goodness of God is made known. It begins and it ends for each of us with ourselves, whatever anybody else might do. But as we do this by the power of God, as we receive His grace, by the grace of God, our lives can be instruments that lead yet others all around the world, all creation, to join us in this worship, this praise, this blessing of God. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we worship You this morning, we acknowledge You as our Lord, our God. In the midst of all of the changes and the challenges of our world, we acknowledge You as God. We bless Your holy name. Amidst our sin and our failures, in the midst of our great successes, in the midst of it all, oh God, again and again we turn to You and we remember that You are our hope, our rock, our fortress, that Your steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting, and that we can trust You. Even as we receive Your grace this morning in the sacrament, as we receive Your grace through Your word, renew us by Your Spirit to go forward living lives that bring glory and worship to Your name. By Your power, O God, accomplish abundantly far more than we know to even ask or imagine this morning. By Your mighty power at work in and among us, we pray with thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.